Hello, everyone.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Em.
And welcome to our podcast discussing all the latest books. This is season 2, episode 8, and today we are discussing Reckless by Lauren Roberts. She's so pretty.
We promise to give you all of our honest opinions on all the characters, chapters, and scenarios. We don't mean any harm to any of the authors. This is solely our opinion. And as always, we promise to Carl them like we read them.
Period. So, some trigger warnings for this book and episode are references to physical child abuse, gambling and smoking, graphic blood and injury depiction, grief and loss, death of a sister and friend, and father, I believe, murder, knife, sword, spear, and weapons violence, physical assault, fist fights, cage fighting, etc., a near-drowning incident, graphic depictions of violence, death, murder, torture, blood, corpses, and mentions of parent deaths. So, be sure to take care of yourselves, and as always, spoilers will lie ahead.
So if you don't want to hear how this book ends, please pause here, go read the book, and come back to this episode. Are you ready to get started?
Let's get into it. What?
I was making weird noises and you didn't respond.
Because I'm used to it.
Okay.
Don't know what I'm supposed to say. Okay, so the blurb for this book is, I wonder how often the enforcer kneels before anything. Anyone. You're afraid of me. Kai meets my statement with a stare, steady but drawn out like a sigh. I'd be a fool not to fear something so fierce. I swallow. And are you not? A fool, that is. He stands then, holding my gaze until he's the one looking down on me. Not anymore.
So, the story begins after the events of Powerless, and Peyton, who is an ordinary, has been faking a psychic ability to avoid being detected and killed. Kai, on the other hand, is Illyan's prince and enforcer, or the king's right-hand man and assassin. He is tasked with hunting down the ordinaries. Kai and Peyton strike an unlikely friendship after Peyton is selected to participate in the trials, a series of deadly tasks from which she emerges victorious. However, at the end of the book, her true identity had been discovered, and while she tries to flee, the king ambushes her and kills him in self-defense after learning that Kai assassinated her father years earlier. She is now on the run and trying to survive and not be caught by Kai. So,
Daddy.
At the end of the last book, Kai got orders from Kit to track down Peyton and bring her back to him. Okay. So that's where
alive.
We
live.
Yes.
Although he put out things, I'm confused about that. He had this plan, but he also put out a price on her head, dead or alive. And obviously, she'd be easier to give back dead.
True.
So I guess I didn't understand that.
I guess that his ending plan had been his plan maybe all along. But again, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
So the first perspective we get is Kai visiting his sister's grave, and she had basically passed whenever she was very young. We end up learning some more about that later in the story. But there is a quote that kind of summarizes where Kai's headspace is, and it says, "Royal." I almost laugh aloud to myself at the title. I frequently forget what I was before what I became. A prince before the enforcer, a boy before the monster. But today I am no one. Today I simply get to be with who should have been. We end up getting after that into Peyton's perspective, and this is taking place about 3 days after the trials technically sort of kind of concluded in its own sense. But
they concluded all right, because the king is dead.
Yeah. And so is half of everybody else.
Yeah.
So Peyton is injured and she takes refuge in her old home, and she does end up retrieving her father's journal. And she's kind of processing all the events that she had uncovered during the trials. And she starts trying to flee the city, and someone ends up pounding on the door. So she ends up hurrying up the chimney.
Can I just add, it made no sense to me why she would go to her house and stay there for any period of time. I get that, like, it gave her
time for sure.
Yeah, I get it, like, gave her her dad's journal. So, like, that's kind of why, maybe. But that's the first place they're going to check.
Well, I feel like if she got in, got out, it would be kind of quick. But it seemed like she almost, like,
stayed there.
I would have thought it should have been for the situation for sure.
I agree.
Like, if you already knew where it was at, I would get in, get out.
Yeah, you get in, pack a bag, you're gone.
Yeah. Well, even then, she didn't even need to pack a bag because none of her stuff was there.
Well, I mean, like, supplies that Dad gotcha. Might have had there or something.
I thought you were meaning clothes, so.
Yeah, like, no, I got you.
None of those would fit anymore. She has not lived there for years. But Kai ends up entering the house with other Imperials looking for her, and he thinks that she's not there, so he ends up setting fire to the house. And she ends up making a quote, which I kind of really like, because it's kind of like a deep thing to kind of think about. But she says, blood is only useful if it can manage to stay inside my body. My mind is only useful if it can manage not to get lost. My heart is only useful if it can manage to not get broken. Well, it seems I've become utterly useless then. A, because she's bleeding, and because she's wondering where the hell she's going to end up. And then three, now she's, you know, got her heart broken. But
I just want to say, I called it that it was Kai that killed her dad.
You did. You did call that. You did call it. So Kai, who is standing outside the house, notices Peyton coming out of the chimney as the house burns, and he basically sends all of his men to follow her. She starts leaping from roof to roof to try to escape them, and he does end up slicing her leg, and she ends up getting out of sight, and Peyton ends up killing his soldiers. He ends up burying the body because he knows it would hurt Peyton to not. And, like,
ugh.
He's so angry, but at the same time,
he's so in love.
So in love. It just, ugh. I just love it.
Yeah, me too. I love that she also watched him and heard him say and do that.
Yeah. Well, he makes the comment. He says, I'd never given a second thought to what become of my soldiers' bodies. And yet here I am hauling a man over my shoulders because of a girl who despises doling out death. I grunt under the Imperial's weight, wondering why the hell I'm even bothering with this. What the hell has she done to me? Oh, love.
Yeah. I got to be honest. And I think I said this to Emily before we got on here, but if I didn't like Kai so much, I would have struggled a lot in this book.
Yeah.
It was very much like a filler. There was nothing substantial that occurred in this book.
There was quite a bit that could have been definitely cut down. And it could have probably been a novella for sure. But I think the beginning part had really good context and the ending part had really good context. But the middle part, other than Kit's perspective and kind of what was going on at the kingdom, there really wasn't any necessary stuff.
And I called that too.
You did.
I'm proud of myself because I called that. But it also kind of makes it, ugh, because I called that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's more fun when you're, like, shocked.
Yeah.
I want to be in pure shock when the plot twist happens. Absolutely. I don't want to call the plot twist.
No, so. And if there was extra ones that came along or something, maybe the main plot twist getting exposed was okay, but to have it all kind of like...
You good?
I don't know what just happened. Laid out there, that's just a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know what is happening to me tonight.
Although I will say, like, I don't think, like, I'm a genius for calling it. Like, I think it was... even if...
I feel like you lay in bed at night and was like, I figured that out. I'm the smartest person on the planet.
No! Even if she hadn't posted the teaser for book 3 that, like, for real solidified it for me, he kept talking about a box in his pocket. What else could that have been? I mean... what else?
You did feel really good about yourself figuring that out, though.
No, I feel like it's not fun to ruin the plot twist.
6 times already tonight that you figured it out.
No, I'm pointing it out that I called several things because that means she didn't do well enough. No offense, Lauren.
I didn't catch the wedding thing, but I also didn't pay attention to detail.
You never pay attention to detail. Okay, and then you missed... then you miss the entire plot twist that's standing right there in front of your face. You mean to tell me you really didn't read that part where he's talking about a box in his pocket and not know what it meant?
I really did not.
You just got proposed to. You would think, like, it would be fresh enough that it would ring a bell, too.
Honestly, don't even remember reading that part, to be honest. I think I skipped over that entire portion.
He says it in two chapters. At least.
I'm going to be honest. I was just more so, like, sus about Callum or whatever the heck his name is the entire time. I wasn't really concerned with what was going on with him.
I was just trying to figure out what Callum was doing.
More like deciphering what it was going on between the two of them than I was anything. So all the other details just kind of didn't matter. The only part I know is that he said that the staff thought he was crazy because he had ink all over him or something along that lines.
Yeah.
But that's the only
one. You noticed that, but you didn't notice the ring in his pocket.
Yeah, because ink on my hands really bothers me, so I was just thinking.
Okay, OCD.
I was just thinking about how, like, terrible that would be to be just, like, covered in ink, and then it kind of brought up my anxiety, and then...
And how it would never clean off. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of an anxious moment, but it was a little triggering. Probably should put that in the trigger warnings.
That's fair. No, I know he talks about the desk and how cluttery and messy it is. Oh, no. And I was like, let's not talk about that.
Yeah. I skipped over quite a bit of that.
I don't need to know that.
No. I'm going to have to get into this book and clean your desk for you. After Peyton is watching Kai bury the soldier, and she sneaks through the shadows to end up going through the desert to try to go towards some of the cities there to try to find refuge. Kai goes back to Kit, and he's what Kai kind of refers to as turning into their father. And Kit is kind of worried about where Kai's loyalties lie. And he's swearing that, of course, that he'll bring Peyton back in, but he's, you know, not entirely sold on that will actually happen. But he does take off his ring as his way of, like, showing Kit a promise that he will earn his trust or something at some point, which honestly, at this point, I don't quite understand how Kai hasn't earned Kit's trust, because he's not really done anything wrong towards him. But I could see where he's just, like, in his head of, like, who can betray me at this point, because I've been betrayed by somebody I trusted.
With Kit and Kai, I don't necessarily think that Kai was having to prove his loyalty to Kit per se. I think it was more of, like, Kit knew that even with his dad, he had done things he wasn't supposed to. And if there was ever going to be a person in a moment that Kai wouldn't follow his rules, it would be Peyton. So yeah. I don't know that Kit was, like, convinced he wouldn't, but I think he was just, there was a little bit of concern there.
That makes sense.
Kai got offended and was like, I'll show you. And then proceeded to kind of do exactly what Kit thought he was gonna do. You know, like, he was about to let her go, so yeah. You know, but it'll be interesting to see in the next book how Kit and Kai interact and, like, their relationship going forward too, as much as hers with them too.
Gotcha. So as she's traveling through the desert, she's dealing with being a murderer and nightmares. I mean, what else would you summer it as? She's now a murderer times two.
She's dealing with being a murderer.
She is.
Oh, you're on one today.
I was trying to figure out how to summarize it.
I could tell because you were like, how am I going to say this? Being a murderer.
I mean, there's no other way.
Continue. It's just funny.
And then nightmares of Adina's death. So she swears to herself to try to stay alive long enough to avenge her friend. Kai is also having dreams of Peyton and reminding himself of her betrayal and his feelings for her. And he ends up also traveling into the desert, and they're, you know, pursuing her and chasing her. Peyton is obviously getting exhausted because she's walking through the desert with little to no water and no food. And she eventually collapses and gets carried by a stranger. And she thinks that Kai has found her. And so she attacks the men, which is actually a guard from the nearby city. And he realizes who she is. And so he would like to get the reward that is out for her head. So he tries to take her prisoner. And Peyton ends up being a murderer times three now and kills him. And resumes her journey back to the city.
But what does Kai do?
Well, Kai and them stumble on the dead guard, and he realizes that Peyton is close, and he orders the Imperials to take the guard back with them to Dor, and he realizes that the people are weary of him, and they don't really like elites. So he tries to investigate kind of conspicuously.
But he takes him back so he can be buried also.
Yes. Yes.
Love Kai.
So Peyton is trying to barter in the city, and the local vendor's not really wanting to help her. She overhears some men talking about underground fighting ring, and she realizes that she may be able to steal some coins from the gamblers. And she decides to sign up for the fight instead because the crowd kind of makes it impossible. She ends up convincing the man in charge of the fighting ring to allow her to prove herself. Kai has been in Dor for several days now, unsuccessful of trying to find her. And he's still processing his hatred for her, his feelings for her. And he's not quite sure how he'll react when he finds her. But as a young thief tries to take his coin purse, he confronts the thief and he recognizes the girl that he had saved in the first book. And he asks her whether or not she's seen the Silver Saver, and she can't assist him or anything. But she tells him about a fighting ring where a new favorite has been making a name for themselves. And so Kai follows her there, which we walk into Peyton taking down a pretty large opponent, is what it's described, named Slick. And she has now renamed herself as the Shadow to protect her identity. She's wearing a scarf and stuff to cover her hair. But she ends up defeating Slick and collects her earnings. And as she's talking to the man in charge of the fighting ring, Kai interrupts her. And he recognizes Peyton instantly and challenges to her fight because he's afraid she may evade him otherwise. And he introduces himself to Flame and taunts her into accepting his challenge. Because of the crowd that was cheering her on, she ends up accepting. So he offers her a break before the next fight. So Peyton slips out, but Kai follows her because she is trying to get away, and she threatens him with a knife. And Kai convinces himself that they can simply be strangers in a foreign city for a while and give in to their desire. And he and Peyton kiss before she pushes him away. And she bargains with him that if she wins the fight, he'll let her go. And if he wins, she'll go back to the city willingly. And so Kai agrees, and they return to the ring to fight. And as they're kind of fighting, they taunt each other with memories of their past, you know, relationship that they kind of have, but neither are able to kind of beat the other. But there is a quote I do want to read because I love it. If she is the shadow, then I am the flame. The girl is the very thing I can't seem to escape, can't seem to go anywhere without the remnants of her following. Where I am, she is, whether it's in the flesh or in the figments of my mind. And where there is a flame, there is always a shadow. And we also, at the same time, also get Kit, who is spiraling, and he realizes that the former king would be proud of him because he's become cruel and ruthless.
I am so glad the king died.
Yeah.
I could not have listened to him for one more book.
All his throne of lies.
It's just like, tell me you have a fragile ego without telling me you have a fragile ego. And yeah. Also, how does it make sense that they have a disease that weakens and yet they exist? You know they exist because your job, Kai, is to kill them, and nobody around them is weakened.
Yeah.
Ooh. What do you mean you don't understand that? Stupid. Well, no, I will say it.
But you've, like, literally kissed, like...
You've been around one for how long now?
Yeah, and nothing's happened
to you. You slept in the same bed with her, and you're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
No, it just, it that part, thought could have been a little bit different. Now, it made sense to me, him not wanting them to procreate together.
Yeah.
Because it does weaken their power. I got that. But the rest of it didn't make as much sense to me. Or how he could have fallen for it and, like, never even second-guessed it. Kit, it makes sense. Because Kit's not out there. Kit's guarded. He's sheltered. He's never met one. Like, you know what I mean? Or he doesn't know that he's met one. That makes sense to me why he wouldn't know. But Kai, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I did think there was a little bit of a story flaw there because, I mean, he's even said sometimes that he, like in the first book, something along the lines of like he's passed people on the streets and noticed they didn't have powers or something like that. And, you know, then pursued them. So, I mean, it's not like the first one that he's kind of met, but correct. It's the first one that I guess stopped him from doing his job.
Well, and the fact that like he never even had, like he did wonder if she didn't have a power.
Yeah.
But he didn't really, like in that initial meeting, we see it from his point of view, but he never ever has another thought about wondering for the rest of the book.
No.
So if we were going to make him doubt whether or not she was an ordinary or not, I feel like we should have written it in his point of view that he doubted it at some point.
True.
Even a little like, I'm still not convinced she has a power. Because, I don't know. There was a flaw there. There definitely was.
I think if she had been extremely, like, descriptive maybe with her first, like, very, like, accurate, like, you let this entire family go. There was like five of them, you know, what very descriptive on it. I could understand where he's like, okay, yeah, I believe her.
Yeah.
But she was kind of vague with her answers. So I would still kind of have this little bit of a doubt in my mind of whether or not that is the case because it just wasn't exact. I guess that's just the way I think.
Or then after the first trial or like the little showcase thing they do where they're doing the little interview and show off their stuff or whatever, if there had been a thought in his point of view that was like, if I had any doubt before, I don't now. Like she was amazing or what, something to that effect. But it doesn't make any sense why he can't sense power from her at all, other than she's ordinary, you know?
Yeah.
Even if she could block him, he'd still be able to sense it.
Well, he did keep saying that like he hadn't met many people with the mundane powers. So like maybe like in his mind that was justification enough or you know, whatever. I don't think it was enough justification with the type of job that he's basically been tasked with doing. I think that definitely needed to be more of one, but
yeah, I agree.
But eventually Peyton does end up pinning Kai down and she puts a knife to his throat, but she can't convince herself to kill him. And before she kind of makes up her mind whether or not she wants to, Kai rips off her scarf, revealing who she is, which of course then leads an entire crowd after her. And so everybody's aware how much money she's worth. And in this city, that's quite a long ways that could probably go. So they begin threatening her. And basically Kai says that the only way to get her out is for her to allow him to help her. So she ends up agreeing and they end up escaping. And that after Kai basically says, hey, she belongs to me. Like, and they're terrified of the elite's powers, so they let him take her unharmed.
Hey, she belongs to me. She is mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one touch her. So they end up having a conversation. Kai kind of confronts her about killing his father, and Peyton ends up admitting that he actually killed her father years prior, and she kind of uses his confusion to that fact, and she ends up running away from him. And Kyra, of course, chases after her. No doubt about that. But he ends up catching up with her and he slices her injured leg again. And he ends up taking her prisoner. They end up going to an inn and they have a discussion about the king's murder and Peyton's future. And she basically explains that she never intended to kill him and that she just did it to protect herself. And Kai confesses that he didn't know that his first kill was Peyton's father and that he was just basically forced to do the king's bidding. And she ends up falling asleep on the bed and Kai ends up sleeping on the floor. But the very next day, Kai wakes Peyton up and they leave for the edges of the Scorches, where his men is waiting for him and her to take her back to the city. And he has his guards tie Peyton up as they go back through the desert. She's trying to plot her escape. She pretends she's so tired so that way the prince will help her on the horse, and she ends up stealing a knife from him. And so at the same time this is all happening, though, Kit decided he's not going to sleep. He's not going to eat. He's just going to continue spiraling into the craziness. And his cousin basically comes to visit him to offer, basically say, hey, like, something's wrong with your window because there's food flying out of it. Mm-hmm. And Kit kind of denies. I kind of feel bad for him because I just feel like he's been so secluded to a point that he just, like, something like this is just like life shattering kind of situation.
It's also kind of dramatic.
It is. He is throwing like a big baby temper tantrum, but I mean, I get it. Your dad was murdered, but at the same time,
your dad was a POS.
Yes.
And to be quite frank, do kings die of old age in this kingdom? You know what I mean?
Maybe as elites they do.
Well, not today you didn't. Not today.
No, he didn't.
Should have watched your mouth.
Should have watched your actions, your mouth, and everything else.
Should have went on about your day. You picked the wrong one.
True. So as the group stops for the night in the desert, Kai and Peyton sleep next to each other. And they kind of taunt each other. They are kind of arguing about how that the elites are the unnatural. And that basically the king's greed made the city very isolated and weak. And her point of view kind of surprises Kai because he does believe in the disease and then doubts that Kit would be willing to change anything anyways. And whenever he awakes the next morning, an arrow lands next to his head and Peyton is there threatening him with the knife.
I will say, though, before we get to that part, I love that she puts her cold feet on him. It was so, like, human and, like, real that it was just a cute little moment. Also, I love that he awoke and she had a dagger to his throat.
Yes.
That's fun.
So, when Peyton ends up seeing who shot the arrow, ends up being Lenny, which is the guard that was her kind of right-hand person while she was in the castle.
I'm glad he's not dead.
Yeah, I was kind of worried for a minute. I kind of liked him a little bit.
I like Lenny, yeah.
I honestly liked Lenny better than I did Adina, to be honest.
After powerful, I would agree. Not in reckless. Not in powerless. But after powerful, I agree.
Yeah. End up rescuing her, and they tie up Kai and help Peyton ride into where the resistance has been kind of cultivating. So the movement's leader, Callum, and his daughter Mira had been taken prisoner by the king, and the price on Peyton's head is really, really high. So Lenny plans on trading her freedom for Kai's life, and he counts on the king wanting his brother back, which they're not quite in line with the fact that he's spiraling.
Isn't it adorable how Kai was like just sitting there listening to them plan and he's just like, this is a terrible plan.
Yes.
But he's just like, whatever. If that's what my girl wants to do, that's what we'll do. So cute.
So they end up going back to a community where a lot of people who are descendants of elites and ordinaries, which they refer to as mixes, they are migrating to, gathering at. So they basically have weak powers that doesn't make them into the elite status, but they still have some sort of powers. So they start learning about this, and this kind of surprises Peyton, and Kai is kind of intrigued by this fact. And so the newcomers, they settle in for the night, and Peyton is again lying next to Kai to keep an eye on him. A couple days later, Kai is still being held prisoner, but he is trying to figure out how to use the mix's weakened abilities as he's held prisoner. And he's listening to the plan and, you know, like Carly said, just completely doesn't believe it's going to work. So an unknown group ends up ambushing them as they're having this discussion, and Kai is knocked unconscious. And whenever he wakes up, he's tied to Peyton, who's unhappy to be trapped again with him. And they realize that the captor is actually the man who ran the fighting ring, and he wants to collect the prize money for Peyton's head and the ransom for Kai. So they both make a deal.
Shocker, scumbag.
Yeah. Literally all he does is try to make as much money as possible as quick as possible with no regards to anybody. But Peyton and Kai decide to come to a deal to work together to try to escape. Kit is still left in his office, and we end up getting that Callum, which is the former leader of the resistance, is now offering counsel to Kit, and he encourages Kit to agree to his latest suggestion and moves a small box in front of the new king. And Kit is hesitant, but eventually relents when Callum argues that his father has always told him to be brave, benevolent, and brutal. Which I don't know how that has any correlation to him proposing to her whatsoever.
Not a clue, but I'm going to need some more background context of that aspect in the next book, or I'm going to be mad.
Yeah. Agreed.
Why would he take him as an advisor? Why would he not be in the dungeons?
Mm-hmm.
If he's actually spiraling and angry, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
And like, how did he play it off to him to convince him to do that? Doesn't make any sense.
I guess my only thought is maybe like, Kit's really just trying to find somebody to cling to that he can trust. And he just happened to say the right words to do so.
Yeah, but he can't trust that man.
No, he can't, but...
That man had a knife to his family. I don't know how he would ever be able to trust him.
He said the right words.
I don't know.
I feel like Kit's like easily influenced just because he wants like that father figure still in his life.
That's icky.
It is.
I can't ruin him like that. He's already hanging on by a thread after his temper tantrums.
True. Well, so Peyton and Kai are working together to escape. And of course, they're carrying on their banter and taunting each other. And Peyton ends up asking whether or not he regretted everything that happened between them. And he says that they can have regrets later. They just need to get out of there. So they end up fighting off a guard and end up exiting through the sewer, which disgusting.
Absolutely. She tried to write it to like minimize, like they were in a sewer with rising water levels. Oh my God. No.
No,
absolutely not.
Well, and my thing is that they're not going to kill either of them because they want the money. So why not just go out the front door? Like go out fighting.
Well, they could kill her. Killing him wouldn't get them any money. It's her thing was dead or alive.
Oh.
That's what didn't make sense to me because Kai wanted her. Kit was going to propose. Why would he want her dead? That's what didn't make sense to me either. I felt like there were several plot holes.
It didn't all flow for sure.
Yeah, that kind of left me like, huh? And took away from the story sometimes.
The rising water is making them think that they're about to die because they can't find an exit. So in the heat of the moment, they confess to each other that they have no regrets and they kiss for one last time. And of course, Peyton can't swim. So why would we not add that to the plot? And so he asks,
do you not know how to swim?
I mean, she's always lived in the slums pretty much. I mean, I doubt her father like took her anywhere to like teach her how to swim.
He taught her everything else for survival except how to swim.
I haven't heard anything about, I mean, they're in the middle of a desert, basically. So I haven't heard
anything
about water.
No, the desert's next door. They're not in the middle of a desert.
Pretty much.
There's a swimming hole somewhere.
I haven't heard a mention of one.
Well, because it would...
Until the soul place.
Listen. You cannot teach her everything else, but not teach her how to swim. That makes no sense.
He didn't find it a survival...
He's an idiot then, because I mean, I feel like that's the first four you teach how to swim. Got to be on time. I mean, I don't know.
So he asks her to hold on to him so that way they can keep both of them afloat. She notices the grate above them and gets it open, but Kai ends up pushing Peyton out of the tunnel. And when she turns around, she ends up seeing Kai is drowning, which again does not make sense to me, but. Whatever. I don't see how he couldn't just like poke his head out of the hole that she just came out of. I don't get it. But
how does she get back down in there and get him out?
Exactly, when she can't swim. But anyways, she dives back in and pulls him out with any difficulty, which again doesn't make any sense. But
not without any difficulty. That's crazy.
Yeah. So Kai ends up telling her he doesn't regret the things he confessed in the tunnel, and Peyton kisses him again. And he ends up using this distraction as a way to clamp a chain, which he stole from the cell, around her ankle and his own. Of course, Peyton throws.
How is he drowning but can maintain a chain in his hand?
Yeah. Unless he, like, plotted all this, which, again, doesn't make any sense.
Even if he had plotted, he's dead. He's in the middle of drowning. I bet the last thing he's thinking about is, man, I should hang on to this chain.
Well, apparently that's the first thing he thought about.
No.
So they end up stealing a skirt to hide the chain around the ankle, and they sneak into an inn to stay for the night. Peyton ends up bathing, and then Kai ends up sitting outside the door, which was it was a very cute little moment where he was like, I'm not going to peek, and I'll just sit outside the door and allow you to do that. They end up sharing a bed, and they pretend not to hate each other for a little bit, and they just kind of make an agreement that as long as it's useful, they won't. And so they end up holding each other to keep each other warm. They end up deciding they're going to go through the Sanctuary of Souls, which is a rocky terrain infested by bandits, to avoid crossing through the desert again. However, the innkeeper ends up realizing that there's somebody in there. So they end up sneaking out the window and running through the streets, which they pretend to be a couple kissing in the alleyway to avoid detection, which plot hole, I feel like there too, because how that would not be obvious, I don't know.
Oh, we saw them turn that corner. But then when we turned the corner, there were two people making out. Can't be the same people.
No. Possible.
What?
So Kit is growing extremely reckless, which is just adding to his paranoia about Kai's absence away with Kaiten. And he decides to buck up and become king. And
buck up and become king.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He says, how absurd to grieve a man who loved power more than his sons. How absurd to grieve a man who offered me no praise. How absurd to grieve a man who could never be pleased. How unfair to grieve such a man. So I won't any longer. I'm done with it. Truly. Which is good. Good for him. Changing his mindset. Thinking positive.
Thinking positive? I don't know if I would call it that.
I mean, leading in a positive direction. We'll go with that.
Sure. Like hanging out with Carl and Em? Subscribe to our Patreon to get access to extra content, bloopers, and more. We release one extra episode a month, but the Discord is always open for your opinions too.
So Kai and Peyton end up trying to pass as a couple throughout the city, and some men recognize them and grab them. So they end up running and hiding in the first building they find, which turns out to be a gentleman's club. And Kai has Peyton sit on his lap as they flirt and taunt with each other. Kai plays cards and uses the last bit of money that they had until the men kind of come into the room. And Peyton starts questioning whether or not it's real in a way, and eventually Kai ends up collecting his money and they leave. And the story he tells about why he kills Peyton's father quite doesn't make sense to me. I just feel like there's some missing puzzle pieces, but he said he had
what made the king suspicious of Peyton's dad.
That, and then it's also, he says that he was about to defy the orders when he woke up, and so he had to kill him, which you didn't have to. You could just be like, hey, like, I was sent here to kill you. Sorry. I'm not doing that.
Also, her dad didn't fight back.
Yeah, exactly. That didn't make sense to me. Especially after how much he's trained Peyton to fight back.
Can you try?
Yeah. You didn't even flinch? I wonder if he, like, knew it was coming.
You would think he would write that in the journal, though.
I don't know.
Something's up with Callum.
Yeah.
I think he's the snitch.
Possible.
But then that doesn't make sense to me. Then what was he doing? Was it all an act? I don't know.
I don't know. It a lot of it does not make sense to me because, I mean, why create the resistance and become the leader of the resistance if you're against it the entire time anyways? Like,
well, for the king, because then you can weed out everybody that would be a part of it.
I guess. I guess that would make sense.
If that's the case, she better pop him when she gets back.
Again, Kai braids Peyton's hair, and I just love that so much. Like, just the extra, like, moments that you're taking to, like, do that. It's just, like, such an intimate moment that's just not anything sexual, but it's so, so sweet at the same time. But she does kind of question him a little bit, and she kind of gets a little jealous, and she thinks he's been with another woman. That's how he learned to braid hair. And he's like, no, basically, I had a younger sister, and she was kept a secret from the kingdom because she was born with an illness. He kind of just basically states that he hasn't talked to anybody about this, but he felt comfortable enough talking with her. And Peyton's just kind of shocked to learn about all that because it's been a secret so long. And whenever they sneak into the barn for the night, Kai kind of questions why Peyton isn't a mix since her mother was ordinary and her father was a healer. And Peyton kind of starts questioning how that is the case. So the next morning, Peyton and Kai steal a horse and they nearly get caught, but they ride out to the Sanctuary of Souls. And as they're, Kai kind of falls asleep, Peyton tries to steer the horse in a different direction. And the prince wakes up and basically says, like, you're not going to get away with this. And so she ends up asking him a little bit more about his sister, and he basically demands that she dance with him in return of answers. And so when they dance, Kai tells Peyton that her boldness and recklessness reminds him of Ava, and they kind of share a really nice moment together.
Yeah, can I read it? I think I'm at that part. Okay. So, okay, this is the one thing that I marked in my book and like made sure to mark to read and talk about in this episode. Like, this was the one quote that I was like, this was super cute. I mean, there were several, but this was one that I for sure wanted to talk about. Okay, so they're having a conversation, and Kai says, "And then my lips found the pad of your thumb. I hadn't even realized I'd done it, and until that moment, I hadn't done it in years." And that's when he tells her about Ava. She was a crawler, and that's why I kissed her thumbs. So, and he says, "So I would kiss each of her fingers to give some of my power to her. She loved it. Made it higher up the wall every day. But she especially loved when I kissed her thumbs. Told me it gave her extra strength. So that's what I did. I kissed her thumbs every day until Kit helped me bury her." And Peyton says, "I hadn't realized there were tears in my eyes until one threatens to fall. You loved her very much," I whisper. And he says, "I did. I do. And I've never kissed a thumb that wasn't hers. So why mine? Your spirit is familiar. You remind me of what could have been. In another life, I think Ava would have grown up to be like you." "What? You want her to be a criminal?" "No," he murmurs. "I wanted her to be formidable. Recklessly bold, powerful despite ability." I stare at him, taking in each word. "I am none of those things," I whisper. He drops my hand to brush gentle fingers beneath my chin, raising my face up toward his. "You are much more than those things." And Peyton says, "You overestimate me." And he said, "No, I just see you. I've never cared enough to kiss someone else's thumb, but my lips found yours that day." And Peyton says, "And look at where that got you." It's such a cute moment. I love Kai talking about Ava and like how sweet and loving he was as a brother to her. But then also to be like, "I wish my little sister had the opportunity to grow up and to be like you. And I love you."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if I hadn't already been in love with Kai, I would have been in love with Kai after that. I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
That I don't know that you can.
I really enjoyed the fact that it was almost like you got these moments of him that were just like so sweet and tender, but yet he was supposed to be such a hard, like, surface almost. And so it was just like you got this. It's almost like whenever, you know, when you bite into like a cookie and it's just like hard on the outside and then just like nice and gooey on the center. That's what like he is. Like, he's just like such a hard person on the outside, but then like his center is just so sweet. And he just like thinks, I mean, burying the soldiers for her, like kissing the pads of her fingers. Like, I mean, just the small things just show how much like he cares. And I don't really think he wants to be this bad guy. It's just what he's been forced to do because of who he is and what order he was born in, basically.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So they end up falling asleep after they dance, and Peyton ends up waking up the next morning to find out that Kai was injured at the stable. And so she basically asks him to teach her how to ride the horse after she tends to his wounds. And we do at the same time get Kit leaving his study for the first time in several weeks. And so he ends up visiting Gale in the kitchen, who's really concerned about his well-being. And so he manages to appear well to her until she reminds him that he had missed Ava's birthday, which at that point he flees the kitchen. Peyton and Kai have been collecting all the lost arrows, and also she's learning how to steer the horse, which totally becomes pointless because the horse ends up missing. So I'm not quite sure why that was relevant.
The horse runs.
Yeah.
The horse said, I'm out.
And my thought is like, maybe it's going to come about useful in the next book, like that she uses it to escape them by some point. But right now it's just kind of pointless that that was kind of a piece of the puzzle.
I don't think she's ever getting out again.
We can hope.
She can hope, I guess.
True. So they end up finding an abandoned bow, and whenever they go up to the side of the rocks to get it, they end up finding like this little oasis in the middle of the desert. They decide to bathe in the pool at the center of it, and they end up having like a little banter and flirting, and they remind each other that they can't keep pretending that they aren't bound by their positions, and they do give in to their impulses and kiss. They end up leaving the grove. However, they end up finding their horses run away, so they just try to make shelter. And as they were trying to start a fire, Kai asks Peyton if she has any paper, and she remembers her father's journal and goes to tear up pages. But they start reading the journal together as they're realizing that it's actually his personal notes. And so the king was actually bribing healers to lie, according to her father. The king, which doesn't, I don't know why that's pointless because he's a liar and a jerk, so might as well be true. But
well, I think it's a fair point to point out that it is, according to what he was saying, this is what was happening.
Yeah. So the king was bribing healers to lie about the illness that was supposedly spread by the, to kind of justify killing them. Peyton is kind of elated because she believes this is like proof of the lie, which another person's like story isn't really proof, but I get what she's meaning by that.
Yeah.
And Kai all of a sudden has a realization he's been killing innocent people, which I don't think really sets well with him whatsoever, which understandably that you've been a murderer and you shouldn't have been kind of would probably bother a lot of people.
He certainly struggled with realizing that he's probably murdered a ton of innocent people.
But we do end up finding out as well that Peyton's father is the one that kind of started the beginning of the resistance or assisted in that. But she also ends up finding out that her mom and who she thought she was end up dying in childbirth, and that she was actually abandoned on her dad's doorstep shortly after. And so Peyton has a really hard time with that fact because she, you know, kind of is like, well, I can't believe he lied to me. But Kai was just like, but he really didn't lie to you because he was your father, and you know your mother would have loved you just as equally no matter if you were the baby that was actually born or the one that was kind of adopted. And the quote that ends up being said is, you cannot be nothing when you are everything to someone else, and that is what you are to your father. Whether or not he was your flesh and blood, he loved you more than most. And so they kind of are reflecting on everything they learn, and they end up admitting their new true feelings to each other. And as they're doing so, they are interrupted by bandits shooting arrows at them, which Kai ends up getting his arm injured. Cause they also kind of the journal, how he did, he was really just like used constantly at the castle to like treat people, and was constantly busy cause he was one of the only healers in like the slums and stuff like that. So like how he had time to learn and teach his daughter, I don't know.
Okay.
Timeline did not make sense to me.
Sure.
You can't argue with that.
I mean, I can, but it would be a waste of time because you miss details sometimes. So then we're sitting here talking about two different books, babe.
So Peyton ends up using the bow and arrow, and she ends up killing four of the bandits. Well, she starts panicking because she's like, now I'm going to serial killer. So Kai ends up comforting her, and a fifth bandit unexpectedly appears. And as he's about to shoot Kai, Peyton jumps in front of him and knocks the arrow away. So as Peyton's tending to Kai's wounds, he ends up confessing that he really can't hate her because he had dreamed of killing the king himself. Which,
period.
Then why were you mad in this place?
So, exactly. Who hasn't dreamed about killing the king themselves?
Exactly. I'm pretty sure Kit at this point has dreamed about killing the king himself.
So, 1,000%.
So Peyton has sort of like a panic attack because she's overwhelmed that she's like washing his blood away. It's a symbolic weight of her loved one's bloody deaths. And I'm just like, okay. Because her braid ends up covering in blood. So she asks Kai to like chop off her hair.
Yeah.
And she says it's like a weight lifted off her shoulders when it happens. And I'm like, okay. Don't see how that's significant in any aspect. But I guess she's having like a midlife crisis. But go for her.
It might be a midlife crisis. She might not make it very much longer.
It's true. I mean, murder 7 people and then cut your hair. Why not? So Kit ends up visiting, I believe it's Kai's mom, in the secluded tower that she's been in. And he ends up running into his adopted brother. And he basically tells the queen, his stepmother, that he will make his father proud. And his stepmother says that the king left Kit some letters to guide him in his new role. So Kai ends up planning on showing Peyton's father's notes to Kit and try to investigate the truth himself. And as they're going to like a field, they end up having kind of like a free moment where they're just kind of running through the fields, being playful. They dance and they kind of have like a nice little moment. And as they're making flower crowns, which the city's assassin sitting there making flower crowns on the floor, he notices the scar above her heart, and she kind of gets defensive and tries to block him from seeing it. And Peyton ends up showing him that it's an O that the king had carved above her heart to remind her of her status. He's angry and tells her the scar is only a reminder of her strength and resilience. And they fall asleep after their last night of freedom. And he says, as they're talking about that, oh, he didn't ruin you, Pei, but you thinking so means that even in death, he wins. That scar is a testament of your strength, a testament of who you are, not what. And
it's very sweet.
Yes, I just love how he sees her, everything she does, in a different light to kind of be a little positive, which is very weird because you think him as like a professional serial killer would have probably not been as positive, but
fair.
So they wake up the next morning, and basically Peyton just wishes she could hate Kai because it would make it easier to accept fate. That Kai ends up confessing that he can't hate Peyton because he's in love with her.
Period.
Peyton ends up admitting her feelings as well, and they give in again and kiss. And he suddenly feels some Imperials coming towards them, and he encourages her to play along and pretend to be prisoner. And they had this kind of banter throughout the entire book where they talked about they were just basically playing pretend whenever they'd have any kind of romantic moment of any point. And so she says pretend, and he says never. And she says none of it. And he says, darling, I never had to pretend to want you. Oh,
love that.
So Kai ends up greeting the Imperials as like his cruel, distant self, and they wander back to the palace, and Peyton kind of wonders what's going to end up passing. Of course, there's crowds gathering, and they're, you know, basically acting like she's betrayed the king, or betrayed the people, killed the king, whatever. Which,
as if anybody liked that man.
Well, not like that, but they're going to be really shocked whenever they sit there and find out that she's becoming the new queen.
Yeah.
So they go into the new throne room, and Kit kind of greets Kai a little harshly and is just like, did anything happen between you guys? And Kai's like, no, I fulfilled my promise, whatever. So Kit just turns to Peyton and introduces her. And he says that she's an ordinary, a traitor, and a murderer. And Peyton, of course, admits to all of her crimes and expects to be punished. But Kit proposes to her. And of course, she can't deny it, but we end up going back to Kai's internal monologue watching this, and he says, she was supposed to be my forever, now I'll watch her become someone else's, because the beast doesn't get the beauty. And I hate that for him.
Oz, the Beast does get the beauty.
I hate that for him.
I still think she should just have both brothers. That's how we resolve this. I'm just saying. Everybody can be happy.
I mean, there would be some happy people.
She'd be happy. Sorry, that was inappropriate.
So, what is your final thoughts and ratings?
Okay, so to preface, I literally do not choose my rating until we're sitting here recording this episode. So, it really shouldn't mean that much to you. More or less focus on my opinion of it, I guess. So, for Reckless, I'm actually going to give it a 3, which I believe is what I gave Powerless as well. There were some good parts. There were some not so good parts. There was some mediocre. There wasn't anything that really, like, stood out to me. There wasn't anything that, like, caught me off guard or, like, I didn't have that, like, want to just pick the book up and just jump back into that world. I felt like there was a lot of details that were unnecessary. I mean, and because I like Kai, I liked getting more of Kai, but it just didn't feel like it added to the story, and dragging it out kind of made it hard to get through the whole thing. Don't like that I could call the plot twist at the end. I'm going to mention it again. I don't know. I feel like if I keep calling things, then you should probably hide it a little bit better. And I wasn't even trying that hard to decipher it. So I know Emily doesn't pay attention to the details, but anyways, overall,
you still paid more attention to them than I did.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because you don't even sometimes realize people's names. Overall, I didn't hate it. I just didn't love it either. It was just okay. I wouldn't definitely put it at the top of my list for any of my fantasy books, that's for sure. And to be quite frank, I feel like it's really not fantasy. It's almost more just a romance. Lacking some of that fantasy, getting more into the magic or exploring that a little bit more would be the way that's written. Kind of said that about the first one too, like it's there but it's not written that well. The fight scenes aren't developed really quite fully. Some of that had been done better, maybe it'd be better, but personally I'd give it a 3. What about you?
So my ranking system starts at a 3 and goes up and down for there. I would say it's probably like, to be honest, maybe like a 3.5. it wasn't as good. It definitely, like, so the beginning of the book I enjoyed, the ending of the book I enjoyed, but like the middle part was just kind of bleh. There wasn't anything other than, like, I did enjoy kind of getting a little bit of Kit's perspective, just to kind of, especially like when we learn about the resistance leader kind of being his advisor and stuff. I felt like that plays a lot into what was going to happen in the next book. But other than that, kind of just like the normal flirtation banter kind of stuff that we had seen in the past. So it's kind of like, it's almost like getting old at this point, because it's the same old, same old. So like, I need a little bit more oomph happening. So how that happens, I don't know, but something.
I agree.
But I mean, I do enjoy this storyline. I was telling Carly, I think, so like the first time I read it, it was whenever I had just like sort of gotten back into reading. And so the only thing really I had to compare it to as far as fantasy wise was Fourth Wing. And so obviously nothing's going to live up to Fourth Wing. But for me, like the banter and stuff was really good. And so I really enjoyed it. However, reading it the second time after I have read quite a few more fantasy books and stuff in the last year, it was not as great to me as what it was the first time around reading it, of course. But I mean, I think overall it's not terrible, but I definitely think it probably could have been a lot shorter of a book to get what we needed out of it. But I'm excited to see kind of where it all wraps up with the third book, and hopefully there's some reasons of why maybe it was written the way it was, kind of situation.
Fair enough. So if you liked this episode or any of our other episodes, please subscribe to get access to bloopers, extra content, and more on Patreon. You can find our free episodes that release on the 1st, 3rd, and 5th, if there is one Friday of each month, on any podcasting platforms.
You can also send us book suggestions, comments, or general inquiries to our email at likewereadthem@carlwithakmpodcast.com. Stay tuned for our upcoming newsletter at the beginning of the year. You can also join us on Fable, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram for more engagement from us and all of the latest news. Carl, do you want to let us know what our next read is?
Yes. So on December 20th, we will be discussing
How My Neighbor Stole Christmas by Megan Quinn. And the blurb for that book is, living in a year-round Christmas town has its drawbacks. The caroling, the decorations, the insanely cheery spirit, it never disappears. It's why I like to hibernate away in my cave, I mean house, keeping a healthy distance from the holly jolly spirits. And all was going according to plan until my nemesis, Story Taylor, moved in next door to care for her Aunt Cindy. Without blinking, she turned my simple world into a real nightmare before Christmas, especially when she decided to enter the town Christmas Kringle contest, which she was determined to win. Well, guess what? Over my cold-hearted body. There was no way I was going to let her win, not after the history we shared. So, despite my promise to myself of never participating in the sickening Christmas season, I entered the competition as well. That's right. I planned on beating Stormy at her own game by pretending this grump's heart grew 3 sizes this season. And it was working, until feelings between us started heating up. We pretended to date, we kissed, and well, sparks flew from there. Which led to one explosive night involving Christmas lights, the competition, and a ladder. Don't let me convince you who stole Christmas. I think you need to find out for yourself.
That will be interesting. We appreciate you tuning into this episode, and we can't wait to hear your thoughts. Don't forget to join us over on Fable to discuss each book as we read them. And as always, we promise to Carlin like we read them.